A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 25th July 2023. It's a Tuesday class. So here we continue our sharing from this book, the Dhamma, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are on page 467. Okay, so as usual, let us gather and have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa.那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么阿弥陀佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨。那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨。Okay, for those who are new, our chanting will start from page one. Just now, what we have done is we make offering to the Triple Gemma, the author.When we recite sadhu means we rejoice with the generosity, wholesomeness and offering that we have done. Then after that, we chant the salutation to the great beings, the Buddha, the great beings and all those that have affinity with our nature, for Pusa. So all this isWhat the Mahayana tradition is. Then now we follow by Theravada tradition. So under Theravada tradition, we will chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. So you follow page one. The English translation is on the right. The Pali words are on the left. So we will chant the Pali. You want to understand?You go back and read the English translation. Okay. So the first chanting is Vandana, homage to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang AbhivademiSwakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Bow. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami.Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato SammasambuddhassaBuddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami.Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami So Padipa Puja are all the chanting to develop understanding of all the offerings. I will chant the Pali, then I will read the English on the right. Kanda samrapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang. The meaning is offerings of light with lights brightly shining. Abolishing the darkness or gloom, I adore the Enlightened One who dispelled the darkness of ignorance. Then now you chant the Sugandha Puja. Kanda sambara yutena dupena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamang. The meaning is offerings of perfume smoke. With perfume incense, made from fragrant substance, I honor the Exalted One, worthy of respect, who dispels the darkness or ignorance. Then the next puja item is pupa puja, or offerings of flowers. Vanda kanda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi budang kusumena nena punena matena ca hotu mokang Pupang milai yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang. The meaning is offerings of flowers. This mass of flower, fresh hue, fragrant and choice, I offered at the sacred lotus feet, lotus-like feet of the noble sage. I offer thee, Lord Buddha, these flowers. May this virtue aid in my emancipation. Our body undergoes decay, even as this flower must fade. Then the next page, Paniya Puja, offering of water. Adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya. Patigan hatu mutamang. The meaning is offering of water. O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept this water as an offering to Thee out of great compassion for us. Then the next puja item is pala puja, offering of fruits. Adivase tu no bante pale parika pitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. The meaning is offerings of fruits. O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept these fruits as an offering to Thee out of great compassion for us all. The next puja offering is Ahara Puja, offerings of food. Adivase tu no bante bojanang parikapitang Anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Offerings of these foods. O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept all this food as an offering to Thee out of great compassion for us all. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all the significance of all this puja offering that we have made. Significance of offering of light. We read together. Huh? May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Bhutang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi bao. Sanghang pujemi bao. Tonight, we are fortunate to have a newcomer. I think Sister Alicia's daughter-in-law, sister. She is Sister Andrea. Oh, not Andrea. Andrea, I always pronounce wrongly. Andrea is boy, man. Adrian. Adrian, yeah, sorry. Yeah. So this is Andrea. So you are most welcome, Andrea. So make yourself at home. Anything you don't understand, you can ask, don't worry. We are here to develop sharing and understanding of the Buddhist teaching. Then later on, the second session, maybe I will make use of this session to brief something to Andrea. I always cannot remember. Forgive me, Andrea. To at the same time let others who are new later on develop the understanding. So you all have to maybe remember this recording so that people who are new, they can actually develop better understanding. So what we do here is, like I earlier explained, we will have our initially the so-called physical puja where we gather to actually make offering of the significance offering. We call it the puja offering. Puja means our devotional offering. So pre-puja is before we start our session, our class, we will have this pre-devotional offering where we develop devotion towards the Buddha, towards his teaching, and towards the order of the monk that he has trained well, and they are all enlightened beings that is or that are worthy of offering respect, give and hospitality and orders related to the Aryan Sangha. So these three, the Buddha and his teaching, which we call the Dhamma, and the Aryan Sangha are the triple gem. We call it the three gems within existence, within life. As we all know, gemstones are the most precious of all the precious stones. We call them gemstones. So here, the triple gem is just an analogy. It doesn't mean that these three Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha are gems. No. They are like the most precious and most... you cannot even put a value on it. They are very, very precious and very important to humanity, to living beings. Because according to the Buddha, if you cannot come across this triple gem, you cannot find his teaching. Although other religions may have their own teaching, but these teachings of the Buddha is very unique. He doesn't teach you something that make you very powerful, like full of psychic ability, super normal. No, he doesn't teach that. What he teaches is understanding clearly what life is, who are we, what are we, and how we function as a human being, and how this human being fit into existence, fit into the entire what we call existential world, where living beings become a part of. So when we understand this, means we understand life, then we know how to live life, then we can live a noble life that is free of all the unnecessary suffering and misery of life. So which means this teaching can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. You don't have to wait till you die to realize this teaching. So in that sense, this triple gem, any of these, when you encounter them or when you are able to come into contact with them, that teaching will be there. Because the Buddha himself is the fully enlightened one. He's not only enlightened, he is perfect in virtue and wisdom. He has developed the understanding, the perfection, means wisdom-wise, virtue-wise, he has perfected them all. That's why he is called the fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, fully enlightened. And because of that, he definitely has the teaching. That's why when he proclaim and teach this teaching 2,600 over years ago, is to allow humanity, mankind, and even living beings who can receive this teaching to actually develop the understanding of it and liberate their mind, to free their mind from all this so-called delusional living. So when you have wisdom, you are no longer delusional or deluded, then you can understand life, then you know how to develop the understanding to live life, then you will have the noble life, free of suffering. You can transcend birth and death, you don't have to worry about dying, you will develop clear understanding, nothing dies, no one dies. Then what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of existence? Everything you can understand. That's why this teaching is very unique. And this teaching he called the Dhamma, because Dhamma means truth, all of nature's truth is considered Dhamma. But what he taught, the essence of his teaching, are the Four Noble Truths. This Four Noble Truth is very unique. You know Mandarin, Adrian? Oh, good. You heard of the Four Noble Truths, Si Sheng Di? Oh, no. Sheng Ren, you understand? Sheng Ren. No. Sheng Ren, enlightened being. This type of truth, they are not only unique, spiritual, universal truth, or very important truth, but they are very special truth that the Buddha came upon to let humanity understand. That's why he called it the Noble Truth. Because these are the truth, when you cultivate them and develop the understanding, you will awaken and become noble ones. So noble ones in the time of the Buddha, they are called enlightened ones, enlightened beings. Because enlightened being, according to the Buddha, you are very noble in all aspects of life. Means you have right understanding or right view with regards to all of life. Means whatever nature's law that governs life and existence, you understand. Yeah. So you got noble quality of wisdom that allow you to understand how things arise and how things comes to be. Means the secret of life. Yeah. So this Four Noble Truths is like he summarized all of life into just Four Noble Truths that explain to you clearly all of the secret of life. Both mundane and supramundane, you can understand them all. That's why these are called noble truth, very unique. Then you become noble ones. You are very noble in your understanding. Then the second one is, after you have this right understanding, you are very noble in your speech, the way you live life, the way you act, the way you arise your thought. That's why they call it the Noble Eightfold Path, embodiment of an enlightened being. Once you become enlightened, you will have this understanding, this wisdom. Then you become very noble in the way you communicate with people through your actions, speech, and thought process. You will have right thought leading to right speech, right action. Means you are incapable of cheating, deceiving, harming, hurting, or causing death to living beings or fellow humanity or any organism for that matter. That's why we keep our precepts and all those things. Then the next noble quality is you will have what they call the right understanding to live life. They call it noble living, right livelihood, or right living, in the sense that you don't take up certain type of occupation that leads to killing, destructive nature and all those things. Means you take up a career that is of noble value, where you can contribute to society, to humanity, and it will not like cause conflict to nature or destroy environment, kill people out of greed, certain type of livelihood, like they sell drugs, weapon, and all those things. So all those livelihood that are not in accordance with the right moral principles, they will not do. And they, by nature, they have that noble understanding and quality. That's why they will live their life in accordance. Then after that, they will also have the embodiment of the four right effort, where they continuously develop the training of their mind to arise is for right effort to purify their thought process. So whenever they arise as wrong thought or unwholesome thought or negativity of thought that can lead to suffering, misery, karmic negativity, then the first right effort is to arise the right effort to have the ability to abandon it. Means you must have mindfulness to see it. Then you must be able to abandon it. Then it will cease to be. So all this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong way of doing things become no longer a part of you, because that right effort will enable you to abandon them. Once they are gone, rooted out, then you will have proper, noble life that will not lead to any negativity. Then the second right effort is, after you have trained yourself, not only you can abandon them, the second right effort is to have the wisdom or the understanding to prevent them from arising in the future. Means that wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong way of doing things or living life, you will have this ability to arise the right effort to prevent them from arising. Yeah. So this tool is to deal with negativity of mind state. Then the other two right effort is to develop the ennobler of your character, your personality, your goodness or wholesomeness. So the third right effort is to cultivate whatever goodness or virtue or kindness, generosity and all things that are still not in you. Then learning how to rejoice, learning how to be gentle, pleasant, kind, compassionate, merciful, and all those things. So these are the training that they will have, the third right effort. Then the fourth right effort is to refine upon all this wholesomeness or goodness that you have developed while you are cultivating the third right effort, until they become like perfected, so that it become an embodiment of the way you understand life and the way you live life. Then the next two quality, noble quality, is you are always mindful, aware, means you have mindfulness developed within. They call it samasati, the right mindfulness. Enlightened being must have this awareness or mindfulness within, otherwise you cannot become enlightened being. So our meditation later on also is to develop this awareness-based meditation, so that this awareness can stabilize in your mind state to enable you to meditate and develop wisdom and understanding. That's why this quality of mind, which is sati or mindfulness, is very important. Then finally, the last noble quality is, after you have the ability to develop this mindfulness or sati or awareness, then you need to stabilize it until it become unwavering, collected. So they call this the state of samadhi. When your mind develops samadhi, it can see things as they are. It will not waver under any circumstances. Yeah, this mind that is in samadhi is collected and unwavering. So at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, if you are think of something, you will not be affected at all. That's why you can remain peaceful, calm, aware, tranquil, and have the ability to see what is going on in life, in existence, within the moment. We call it ability to see things as they are, not according to your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your beliefs. These are all from the memory. They are not wisdom. The awareness is the one that can see things as they are. Then when you are completely silent, still, and just aware with the stability of samadhi, then you can also insight into phenomena to awaken to their universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. These are Pali words. The English equivalent is you will see the three universal characteristics of impermanent, which is anicca, followed by the suffering state, which is dukkha. Then anatta means not a permanent unchanging entity, empty nature or existence. So this universal characteristic, the three, you will insight into them and awaken to it. Then you realize the whole of the phenomenal world, the existential world, is not what you think. It's not something that is so real, where people can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this belongs to me. In reality, there is no such thing. But because of delusion, living beings got themselves entangled when they go through life without understanding. Because they lack mindfulness, awareness, they cannot awaken to this understanding. So they are caught. Yeah. To most living beings, before they awaken or develop the understanding, they will believe as a human being, we are real, we exist, we have feeling, we have a physical body, we have the senses. It can make us conscious of what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And the consciousness that arise are like so real. Then the thought process, the emotion, everything. It's like we really exist. Then when we are born, they give us a name. Then they label us. They label us through our appearance. Yeah. Male, female. Then through your skin color, externally, physically, by race, Chinese, Indian, Negro, or Westerner, or European, and all those things. Then they also divide us through all our religion. They call it the belief system. Yeah. So all this is the society's way of enhancing the delusion of what humanity is going through. And because of that, the ego, the personality, the atta that has been conditioned into our life is so strong, we find it very difficult to reverse them or remove them. Then when we go to school, education and other things, career, we develop competition. We become very competitive, even in the field of sport, education, everything. We must compete to survive, compete to become famous, compete to reach the top and to develop fame and all those things. So all this lead to a lot of what they call unnecessary conflict, unnecessary misunderstanding, argument. Of course, there are certain aspect of joy, recognition, and all those things. But like anything in life, the one that succeed are very few. The one that fail is a lot. Then after you succeed, you cannot stay forever champion or very good for too long. As you age, you're no longer as fit as those younger players or athletes or whoever in that field. So you will go through the reality of life and existence. And all these are in the teachings, especially the first noble truth, the reality, the eight realities of life and existence. These are what humanity will confront as they go through life. The first four, of course, is very common, often mentioned, especially among the Chinese race. They call it 生老病死, means birth, old age, sickness, and death. So according to the Buddha, as long as you live life long enough, you will confront birth, old age, sickness, and death. Then when you confront them without understanding, suffering will follow you. That's why he said birth is suffering when you don't have the wisdom. Going through old age, experiencing aging, especially old age, followed by sickness and death, they all lead to suffering. Just now before we start the class, I was asking Elsie, because Elsie has to look after the mother-in-law, quite elderly. So it was not easy because, like she said, almost need 24-hour attention and all those things. So not easy. So we were talking about that issue, which is life-related. He said luckily now they managed to find a proper home to look after her. So that's why she can attend back the classes. So earlier on, she told my wife, for the time being, maybe 1 or 2 months, she may not be able to join our physical class, which is understandable. That's why later on we discuss, is it not until you confront this reality, where is her mother-in-law? Then I told her, my neighbor also same. They are very old. My neighbor, the husband is almost 90 years old, just passed away, I think, 1 whole year ago. Then now the wife alone, also 80 plus. Then they have 2 children. One is a doctor in UK. Cannot just come back so often. And the other one is a son that has a family in Singapore. But they are our neighbors, so my wife and me, off and on, we help them. But not easy to cope. The son also find it very difficult. Almost alternate weekend, drive all the way from Singapore, attend to her and do a lot of things. Yes, as we age, the aging doesn't mean 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old. Aging means as you grow old. I think the most prominent is after 50 onwards. So normal people with average lifespan 70 something, actually, I mean, based on what I go through, at 60 and now coming to 70, I'm still okay, still very good. But I was told 70 to 80 is not so easy. Yeah. But if you have the Dhamma, you don't worry. Yeah. You can confront them, you can understand them, and you can just develop the understanding to endure and to move. Do what you have to do. No need to feel like miserable over it. No need to develop the remorse, the sadness, the suffering, the unnecessary suffering, I call it, the sorrow, the lamentation. Then no need to hold on to a lot of things that your thought create for you. I always tell Kayamita, it's only a thought. How come it has such power to make you so miserable? Miserable. They go and think and think and think until they develop depression, suffering, misery, so much problems. They worry a lot. They not only worry about their life, their health, their career, they also worry about their children, their grandchildren, and sometimes their parents, their good friend, brothers, sisters, siblings. There's so much thing to worry. Then career problem, financial problem, relationship problem, whole load of life-related problem. So sometimes when you confront life without understanding, anything can happen. Disaster is everywhere. You read the news, the TV, the whatever, social media. Almost everywhere, forest fire, yeah, typhoon. Then they also have what they call earthquake, very severe weather and all those things. Then tsunami. Then of course they have traumatic diseases too, like our recent pandemic, COVID. Just one COVID make the world go into a turmoil for 3-4 years. And we have to adjust our life and do all that. That's why you don't have the dhamma, the understanding. You cannot endure. You complain. Then a lot of people's life, career, earning power disrupted over that period. So this is what the teaching is all about, life, existence. When we understand all this, then we can face them, confront them. No problem. We can still have the good life, the happy life. And all of this happening is in fact, like I share with Elsie, is for us to learn, for us to understand. That's why in the teaching, the Buddha teach the Four Noble Truths, then he turned it 3 times, even the first Noble Truth. He said the 8 reality. If you don't develop the wisdom when you confront them, you will suffer, you will become afflicted, miserable. Then he said, this teaching need to be done 3 times. First time is to listen to his proclamation. Then after that, you ask yourself, how can I develop the understanding of what the Buddha has taught me? Why did he say this 8 reality, which is birth, old age, sickness and death, is suffering, the first 4. Then separation from loved one, your possession and everything that you hold on to dearly is also suffering. So separation can occur in many ways. Sometimes not necessarily death. Of course, death is very traumatic. Death of a loved one, breadwinner and all those things. Then apart from death, there is also relationship failure that leads to separation, like divorce. Then when the relationship no longer the way it's supposed to go, then relationship also breakdown. Sometimes they are not married, but their relationship turns sour. So separation can also occur. They don't want to continue the relationship. Yeah. And there are other ways separation can occur. Sometimes during nature's disaster, war or whatever, you can be separated from your loved ones. Then after that, the next reality is when you are with people whom you don't like. You know, there are a lot of times in life where you have to confront people whom you don't like. Even as a kid. Sometimes in school, they have this bully or disciplinary teacher. Then sometimes your karma is not so good. You have stepmother, stepfather, or your own parents. They don't treat you well. You have to go through child abuse and others. So these are the people whom you don't like. Then when you come out to work during career, sometimes you meet up with certain bosses that are not so understanding and kind. Some they go by this management by fear and harassment. They put fear into you, they harass you to deliver, you know. This can be very stressful. And these are people whom you don't like. Then sometimes your mother-in-law or your father-in-law or your uncooperative neighbor and all those things. Then sometimes your own sibling, they may fight fault with each other and create the hell out of things. So when you are with people whom you don't like, suffering can really arise. And some people become so affected, they become depressed, then they commit suicide via peer pressure and all those type of societies, unnecessary pressure. Then the 7th one is when you cannot get what you want in life. So that one also very traumatic. Especially people who have a lot of ideal. They expect to be promoted, but they didn't get it. Instead, their colleague, whom they think is not worthy of promotion, get promoted. So when your expectation is not met, you become miserable. Then sometimes you expect your own parents to understand you, to love you, to care for you, to sacrifice for you. Then you saw your classmate, your friend, your colleague. It appears like their family is so good. They have everything. But yours is the other way around. That's why when your expectation in life are not met, when you try to measure and when you try to compare, you get into a lot of unnecessary suffering and misery. Then there are other things in life where sometimes our expectation, we cannot actually allow this thing to cause suffering and misery to the individual. Because expectation is what people desire, crave for. That's why when you are studying that time, remember, sometimes we think we did very well in the exam, understand? So our expectation is we score, we get good grades, flying color, all those things, top the school. But what happened if it doesn't turn out? So for me, very lucky academically. I did very well. My children also did very well. I don't have such problem. But I've seen a lot of classmate colleagues who study very hard, but somehow the expectation not met, and some they become so unhappy, so depressed, they refuse to talk to people, and some develop depression. Then the last one, the eighth reality. This one not easy. This one you must meditate to understand. The Buddha said, in short, it is due to humanity's or living beings' inability to understand who they are, what they are, and what this so-called human being is all about. That sakyadity or self-delusion condition them to grasp onto this so-called human being, or he called it the five aggregates of form and mind, the two aspects that he calls suffering, the grasping aggregate. And that one is a big topic. You need to cultivate, you need to study them and develop the meditative understanding, the awareness, then understand it. But that one is the final summary, is it? In short, it is due to this. So, under the second turning, the Buddha said, after he proclaimed, you listen, or nowadays you can read it up, or you can Google it, you develop some form of wisdom. They call it the first turning wisdom, or Sutamayapanya, wisdom born of listening, or hearing, or reading nowadays. Then if you still don't quite understand, he said you can go into the second turning. You can reflect on it, contemplate on it, inquire into it. Why did the Buddha say all this? Birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering. Separation and all those things is suffering. Why? Then how can I understand it? So through inquiry, contemplation, reflection, you start to develop more in-depth stability of understanding of this reality, which is life-related. When you develop this understanding, which is life-related, then you start to have the ability to understand life deeper, clearer. Then you can assimilate all this understanding into your mind or your nature within, so that you have this wisdom and understanding that is very different from normal people. So when you understand this teaching, you will understand the first noble truth. Just as I say, the four noble truths explain to you the secret of life, both mundane and super mundane. That one is another very big topic, but I just quickly run through so that you understand. The first noble truth is to explain to humanity or living being the realities of life and existence. Means all of life is inside the eight reality. Whatever you do, they are covered there. All of life. Whatever you can think of, I can categorize for you. Then he said, this is called the first noble truth of suffering. Means suffering is prevalent in this world, in our existential world. If you confront this reality without the wisdom and the understanding of his teaching, you will suffer. That's it. Finish. So this reality of life and existence are common to all of humanity, not only to you alone, unique. No. Everybody need to confront them. If you live life long enough, you have to confront all those eight reality that I mentioned. Then whether you suffer or you don't suffer, depend on your understanding. If you understand, suffering need not be, the Buddha said. Yeah. But if you don't understand, you suffer. So this is the first noble truth. Proclaiming the realities of life and existence, the first noble truth of prevalence of suffering. Then after that, the Buddha go on to the second noble truth. He said, whatever suffering that arise from you not having that understanding to confront the first noble truth, there is a cause behind that suffering. The cause is the final summary of the first noble truth. Because of your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto this so-called human being, the five aggregate or form of mind, creating the delusion of a being that exists. That this being is a permanent, unchanging entity. It has an ego, it has a personality, it has an atta. And it can own things and it can have things. That's why separation can bring about suffering and misery. Then it leads to attachment, clinging, grasping, craving. All this can lead to suffering. Because when you hold, you grasp, you cling, you think you exist, you create a lot of unnecessary conflict in life, suffering, misery. So all this is what he called craving. So the cause of arising of suffering is craving born of self-delusion, sakkayaditti, believing that you exist, you are real. That's why in the famous saying, the Mahayana saying, in Mandarin is it, Lai ye kong, Qi ye kong, Namo si zu, He bi ku ku wei kong, Liu lei na. The meaning is very interesting. He said when we come to this world, we come empty-handed, isn't it? True or not? When you are born into this world, you don't bring anything, isn't it? Then, when you die, when you leave this world, can you bring along anything? Cannot, isn't it? All your wealth, your so-called possession, all no longer yours. Overnight, entity gone. People will start to take or inherit or sometimes confiscated or get destroyed or whatever. So he said, you come empty-handed, you go empty-handed. Then why in between you grieve over emptiness? That one is very interesting. Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Namo si zu, he bi ku ku, wei kong liu lei. That's why you suffer, grieve, have tears over what? What your thought tell you, which is all empty. You grieve over nothing. Understand? Through your own delusion. But when you are deluded, you don't have the teaching, you don't have the doubt, you will hold your claim. But to you, it's so real. They will always say, how can you say I don't exist? How can you say my parents don't exist, my brothers and sisters, my siblings don't exist? The world is full of human beings, living beings. Huh? How can you say all these are not real? It's not to say that they are not real. They are real in the sense that within the existential world, there is such thing as life existed. But the teaching teach you how to develop the understanding. So the first two noble truths is already powerful. If you know these are the eight reality that can lead to suffering, then you know the cause is sakkayadity that conditions you to grasp, cling and hold, born of craving, then you will know how to manage your life better. Yeah, I know the cause. I will not deludedly step my toe in and cause my own suffering, isn't it? So there is a way out. So the way out is through the first turning and second turning to understand this teaching. When you understand this teaching, this one is not very penetrating, but good enough for you to live life to a certain degree of understanding. Then the third turning is all about meditation, developing the awareness-based meditation to understand all this, then to awaken so that the wisdom is very penetrative, powerful. And then the moment you awaken, you see the delusion in doing all this deluded thing, heedless thing that lead to suffering. Then your life, like, suddenly take a turn, become meaningful, wonderful, free of suffering, free of misery. Your thought process all become different. You become a noble being that has noble quality, no more negativity, no more suffering, no more. Then you realize life is so different, so beautiful, so meaningful, amazingly wonderful. Then you can get to live life to the fullest. You can get to experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And everything is so beautiful, so pristine, so wonderful. And this is what the teaching is capable of delivering. Then after that, the Buddha didn't stop there. He said, there is a third noble truth that explains the cessation of suffering. Means suffering need not be. All this so-called suffering born of the first noble truth reality can end, he said. So suffering need not be when you have this understanding of this teaching, when you can awaken to his teaching. But most people tell you, after you die, you go somewhere, everything liberated. But that one you have to wait till you die. This one, no need to wait till you die. Then most people didn't teach you how. They just tell you to believe. You believe, then it can take place or happen. But the Buddha is different. He said, he teach you how to develop it. That's why he said, there is a fourth noble truth. When you cultivate this noble eightfold path, just like I told you, the eight noble quality of the enlightenment, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is the meditation. This is the teaching. Then when you realize this, you can become an enlightened being. You can understand the unconditioned. You can go beyond existence. Means you can realize the enlightenment, which is beyond thought, beyond time. You can cease your form and mind to realize the unconditioned, which is our nature within, that original nature, the true nature, the Buddha nature, or whatever you call it. So this is how that teaching becomes so beautiful. The Four Noble Truths summarize to us all of life and existence, the secret of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. The first two noble truths are more mundane. The third and fourth are supramundane. That's why you will understand life clearly, perfectly, and you will know who are you, what are you. And this is how the teaching make life so different, enable us as cultivator of the way, to develop this unique understanding and to be a blessing to all of humanity, mankind, the world. So this is basically what you need to understand as a summary. So this sharing are for people who are new, beginner. But what I have summarized to you is actually very comprehensive and not easy to understand. It takes quite a while, unless your past is very special, like just now, Andrea. She asked me, "But Dil, how do you understand all this? Did you learn? Did you cultivate?" I said, "For me, I was lucky with my past. I actually didn't really learn a lot of what I understand from this life, but I inherited them. And since birth until the way I grew up, the way things happen is very funny, very unique. That's why I say you were to write an autobiography of my life, I tell you, the world will be very interesting. It's very strange. A lot of things happen. Then, like I used to share with some Kayamita, you may think it's fairy tale, you know, when the thing come up, relate to you. But what actually happened as I go through life is in fact more fantastic than fairy tale. It's very funny, very, very strange. And all this understanding when they arise or when they unfold is really amazing, amazing. And even now, Alicia starts to understand where she also going through the cultivation, the progress, and the transformation. Then when it happened, you know about Alicia's history, right? Huh? And you don't know. She was earlier on in depression for 16 years, you know.
Okay.
Oh, that one you know.
Yeah, sure.
And how she come out, like you, one day come, just listen like that. Then she becomes so different after that. And all in, I think about 10 years only. 大概4年不了, 4年, 10 years. And I didn't do any magic. I just share. She just listened. Then she chased after my talk, the recording. Then keep on listening. Then follow the instruction, cultivate, then develop her own understanding. If she can do it, any human being can do it. Not only you must have a special past like me, no need. Anybody can. And most Kayamita nowadays can understand what I share. And it's, in a way, very different. Then we have the website. This book is for you to read first. Then later on, when you develop interest, you will slowly go into the cultivation. Then you need guidance, you can discuss with Alicia. She is very good. She can help you. You want to come to the class more often, it will benefit you. Then hopefully when we have the retreat, you can come, you will learn very fast. Our retreat is this tentatively, not 100% yet, but I think 90% confirmed, except the dates. October 18 until 26, 9 days, Cameron Highland, Sambo Temple. So when you go for that session, the whole, that yellow book, golden book, the Heart Sutta, you will go through the whole book. Then you will understand. All the teachings are there actually. But not easy to understand unless you meditate and you go into it. But if you have your past, you will understand very fast. So don't worry. So today, actually, I did something totally different from my class. I supposed to have the pre-puja, then no need to explain anything. Then after that, we have our meditation. Then we supposed to invocation to a deva also didn't do yet. Maybe we do it now. So normally before I start my sharing, I will do the invocation to the devas, page 6 of the chanting book. Okay, invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadang Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato. Arahato sama sambuddhasa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadida ya sorry where are we jnana Okay, jnana patipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samici patipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakkineyo, anjali karaneyo, anutarang punyang ketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I think today we have to skip the Dhamma flower. Lotus Sutta. We maybe go into some other type of more basic Dhamma discussion and understanding. I want to repeat this. The last Sunday, we had this sharing. The blue book I given you in just now, the heart and the mind. So this book, you go back, you read out a bit, it will help you understand. The important aspect of understanding your own body and mind. Okay? What is the heart and what is the mind? Yeah. Normally for most people, yeah, if you are English educated, the heart is a physical organ. Yeah? Yeah? That's why they have a different word for it. Yeah? Then mind is a different word. Yeah? Mind is about most people understand the mind as your emotion, your thinking, your consciousness. So they thought this is mind. This is only one aspect of your mind, your thinking mind, your mundane mind. There is another mind which is different, without thought. Your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. That is your awareness nature. And that one, only cultivator of the way you can understand. Yeah. Then you look at the Mandarin word. You know Mandarin. The heart and the mind, the Mandarin word is the same word, you realize or not? You realize or not? Sing. Both also sing. Understand? Sing also the heart, sing also the mind. Understand? Why? You mean the Chinese don't understand? Actually, the Chinese understand. This heart and the mind, they are related. And they are a very important aspect of humanity's understanding. That's why I draw this last Sunday. So maybe I turn on this again. You see, as a human being, what we have is the physical body. Then we have a brain up here, of course, distorted, not so big. Then we have the heart down here. So this brain is at the forehead, okay? Scientists, they will know brain is basically memory. Maybe I write this word here. Brain here is mainly memory. So what we store in our brain, there are memories. If you look at this memory bank, these are the things that we accumulate within our brain. So what are the things we accumulate in life? All of our? What do you accumulate? Your experiences in life, true or not? So what are the things that you experience in life? All of life. So memory are accumulation of experiences. Both good and bad. You accumulate them here. After you accumulate, what do you do? We always develop this, what they call habitual thinking up here, because we send our consciousness up here. That's why here is where all this memory is, accumulation of experiences. Then what is thought? This mundane mind, the thinking mind, is basically what thought is. So this one is actually the thought. So thought is actually developed through your brain. We call it response to memory. That's why when you stay here at the forehead, you create thinking, thought process. To understand this is very easy. When you don't have memory, can you produce thought? Like a newborn baby. They cannot produce thought, understand? But there is no memory, no learning, no conditioning, no memory cells that can teach them. That's why initially when you are born, this brain is like a clean slate. Understand? No conditioning, no belief system, no learning, nothing. It's just pure. So that time the baby is very cute, very naive. They see things as they are without the words, without the concept, without the memory. Understand? Yeah, they don't know anything. But when we start to teach them, papa, mama, all those things, then they learn. Understand? That's how the memory starts. The learning start, the registration. So memories are accumulation of experiences. So when you accumulate all this, it becomes like a memory bank. So the beginning of thought, which are response to memory, is the beginning of registration. When you start to register, you start to develop the process of thinking. Understand? That's why the brain is responsible for the thought process. We call it the mundane mind. Before this process start, before this mundane mind come about, we have actually that true mind from our nature, from here. Then as we grow up, we know this heart is capable of a lot of things. But the scientists will tell you this is the heart, the most important organ. This one must pump to keep you alive. If this one stops, they say you are dead. Yeah, or heart attack. So, don't have to believe anything, neither the scientists nor the Buddha's teaching. Find out yourself through awareness. Whether what I say or teach you is the truth. The heart, based on my understanding, you can feel the heartbeat there, isn't it? True or not? The pulse of life. So this heartbeat is the pulse of life. There is a life force inside there that pumps the heart and send all the blood to nourish your organ and animate you into a living organism or a living being. So this is what we call the life force that actually animates the human form into a living organism. Then whenever you are sad or full of joy, or even when lightning strike, you have fear, where do you feel that emotion? It's always at the heart, isn't it? You feel it there, isn't it? Your heartache, your sorrow, your lamentation, all here, isn't it? So this is where your emotion is, understand? Center of the heart. This emotion is at the center of the heart. Then this heart, if you have another experience as you go through life, you can also come to realize at certain time when your thinking is not active, like when you visit a place or a house where you haven't been before, first time, the first thing that come to your heart there, before the thought come in and condition you and influence you to think otherwise, that is your conscience. That's why sometimes you go into a new place, you feel good, very good. And you like that place, you don't know why. That is your conscience behind telling you. Then sometimes, if it's not proper, you feel agitated, eerie, like very negative, the energy there. So this is what our nature inside with the conscience that can sense and feel. Yeah. Then sometimes when you want to do certain evil thing, especially the first time you do, or it has not become habitual yet, it has not become your tendency yet, like when you want to cheat somebody, want to deceive somebody, or want to take advantage of somebody, then suddenly behind, like another aspect of you, they call it your conscience. Yeah. Or some, they call it the in Cantonese, what they call liang sam, liang sing. So that is actually your conscience. You will say, hey, this is not right. You cannot do that. Yeah. So that conscience also manifests around the heart area. So the heart has this ability to develop the heartbeat, the emotion, and the conscience. Then it is also the seat of consciousness. Means it is from here that the consciousness come in and create the powers of life. And this life force that create the powers of life or the heartbeat is what we call the karmic consciousness or the karmic force. So this life force is also called the karmic force. It is also the seat of consciousness. From there, the powers of life start. Okay? But when you meditate, there is a gateway to your true nature where you can allow the meditator, the cultivator who has developed awareness without thought to access the nature within. And this one is called the gateway. And this gateway is slightly towards the left of the heart. So this is what the heart is all about. The conscience is also very near to the awareness. Because this is from your nature, your awareness nature. So knowing all this, you start to understand how you function as a human being. So this distance between the heart, the brain and the heart is approximately 14 inches apart. That's why in the book, I also mentioned 14 inches apart. Because somebody asked that question. Although they are 14 inches apart, it's not easy to understand these two words. What actually is the heart and what actually is the brain? Are they the same or are they related? Yeah. So what happened is, as you grow up, as this brain develops more and more memories and accumulation of experiences, we will come to know that this brain accumulated a lot of psychological memory and mechanical memories. Mechanical memory are logic, facts, mechanical knowledge, no psychology involved. Whereas the other one is psychological memory. And what are psychological memory? These are dangerous memory. Psychological memories are your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your whatever negativity of mind state that has psychological thinking involved. And that one can make you miserable, mental suffering, lead to depression, lead to mental health deterioration and all those things. That's why when you have all this accumulated, but if you are good at study, the mechanical memory or factual memory is very important, like your knowledge. This one can give you a lot of knowledge, technical knowledge, scientific knowledge. Yeah. So this one is not harmful. This is what memory is for. That's why you can use it for learning, for study, for doing all those like knowledge-based or thought-based approach to think, to learn things and to become good at things, excel in academic and other things. But when it comes to psychological memory, this is the one that actually causes human suffering, human problem. So for those who understand, if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, if you always think from the brain and the forehead, it creates hell. Hell means suffering. You suffer a lot. Whereas cultivator of the way, they move their mind down to the heart to develop what they call awareness or sati, or they call mindfulness. Yeah? They are all same. When you are just aware or mindful, there is no thought, no duality, no problem, no psychological movement to cause suffering, misery, unhappiness, and all those things. So what happened is, to cultivate, you have to move your awareness down to your heart. Don't stay here. When you stay here, you have a lot of this type of mundane thinking, which is born of accumulation of experiences. If it's psychological memory, it causes suffering, misery. So you need to be here to be aware to understand how you develop the entanglement of life through delusion to become what you are. How your suffering come to be, how your misery come to be, how last time Alicia went through the 16 years of depression. Then the moment she's aware, she know all these wrong thoughts, psychological memory that condition her to think that way, negative way. They are the cause of suffering. Like she can straight away tell, and now, for 16 years you have tormenting me. Like the selfish thought, the cunning thought, the hateful thought and all those things. These are all very negative psychological memory. Because you recall it through what? The phobia that you have, the scars of memory that you have. Last time these people treat you like that, so negatively. Then when you go on through life, you have child abuse, you have people who cheat you, deceive you, create fear in you or panic and all. So these are all accumulated scars of memory, your phobia, your insecurity, your whatever. So from here, it manifests and conditions suffering and misery. So the moment she see and understand, she wake up, enough. The wrong thought cease. That's why the right effort to prevent it from arising come about through wisdom. What are wrong thought? Thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Greed means selfishness, craving, desire, possessiveness, all those negativity. Anger are the emotional negativity. And delusion is fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. So once they are there, they trigger off your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So these are wrong thoughts. So when you are aware of that, whenever you are unhappy or not peaceful, means the wrong thoughts are there. Understand? That's why you understand it through observing yourself. Then you trace the origination factor. How come you are not peaceful, not happy? How come there is fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, sorrow, lamentation, all this going on inside that? It's because you lack understanding. You act according to memory, which is full of these accumulated experiences, especially psychological memory. And these are all wrong thoughts. Like I define, what are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your phobia, your insecurity, your consummate, everything, they are due to wrong thought. And they are psychological memories. So when you are aware from here, you see, you wake up, you reverse all this. That is only a thought, like I say, it has got no power over you. So this word is very powerful. It's only a thought. If it's only a thought, how can it have such power over you? Do you understand? We, as a human being, we hold the key to our own life destiny. True or not? To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice there. So choose to be happy. But why is the world full of people who are unhappy? You mean they don't know how to choose? No! But they don't know this teaching. Understand or not? They caught themselves, entangled themselves with all these wrong thoughts. I better write down. What are wrong thoughts? Wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, etc. So, very dangerous to allow this wrong thought to arise, because this wrong thought are thought that will condition all this. So that's why whenever you are not happy and not peaceful, means you know the wrong thoughts are there. And these are thoughts that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Wrong thought means the three evil roots are there. So these are the greed, hatred, and delusion. Like I said, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy is entirely our choice. So why are we not happy? That is a question. That I always say is only a thought. How come it has power over you? Who give him such power? It's because of your delusion, understand? Your delusion that allow the thought to have power over you. Because thought create delusion in the individual living being through creating a delusion that let you assume you exist. That's why when you believe you exist, that personality create the ego. And what is the ego? It's a personality. It's I. I exist. My identity, my name. Then when I believe I exist, I become selfish, true or not? I want to own things. I want to possess things. I become possessive. I have craving. I have attachment, clinging, I want to own thing, have thing, desire thing. So this is the evil root of greed. Then when things don't go my way, when I'm unhappy, I become emotionally very, very negative. I get angry. I develop hatred. I develop envy, jealousy. Then when I don't understand what is going on, I have delusion. I develop fear, worry, anxiety. So all these are the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And because of that, they act deludedly. That's how all these wrong thoughts come about. So if we understand all this to an awareness, then we can reverse all this. Then why should we think the wrong thought? Like Alicia went through 16 years, he said, all these wrong thoughts, he saw them one by one. And now, for 16 years, you have been tormenting me. Now I want to reverse all this. That's why he starts to develop the right effort to become kind, to become generous, to become more loving, more understanding, more sincere, no more negativity. Then she realized this one reversed to become right thought. And what are right thought? Wholesome, virtuous thought without the evil roots. They bring about peace, tranquility, stillness, joy, happiness. Then they change the course of your karma, understand not? Everything becomes different. Then they see the beauty of this understanding, the nature's law unfold. Then the delusion cease. So basically, what is this human being? The Buddha said this human being is a physical form with the consciousness trapped inside. So the consciousness that comes through the heartbeat, the pulse of life, that one goes up to the brain to create thinking. That's why most human beings become very stressful when they think a lot. And when you up here do a lot of thinking, you become very hungry. You tend to want to eat a lot, you consume a lot of energy. Do you know thought, especially emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, they are negative energy field. They cause your immune system to go down. Understand now? Whereas love, joy, happiness, peacefulness, tranquility, stillness of mind, born of meditative state, they are so positive and so conducive for your immune system. They actually brings your health back, allow you to recuperate. Your stress all gone. Understand? This is how you understand through the meditation. You develop all this right thought, beautiful mind state, which has no negativity, then your mind become different. No more tension, no more stress, no more fear, no more worry, no more wrong thought. Everything is beautiful, wholesome, virtuous thought. Then there is a lot of joy. You see people do things correctly, rightly. You rejoice, like just now we say, sadhu, 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 understand? We see people get promoted, we rejoice. They deserve it. Then no negativity, understand? Your heart like open up, and there is joy, there is happiness. That's why it's only a thought. If you don't have the wisdom to recognize this, and develop the understanding to free, then you get yourself entangled. So what we are trying to explain to you here is, although thoughts are response to memory, the problem is not the thought. The problem is the wrong thought. Understand that? So now we need to understand. If the problem is the wrong thought, then I need to understand who is the user of thought. Understand that? So which means the user of thought is very important. If the user of thought has the teaching, has the Dhamma, then you got no problem, isn't it? But if the user of thought is deluded, then you create the wrong thinking, the wrong thought that causes your suffering, then who is to be blamed? May you yourself, through your own delusion, allow yourself to become miserable and afflicted. So another example is, thought is like money, understand? Money. You know money, isn't it? Is money the root of all evil? A lot of people tell you that money is the root of all evil. When you got money, you talk quiet, especially men, too much money. Then sometimes, when you use money wrongly, you use it to hire assassin, destroy people's life and cause havoc to society. That is the use of thought, using the money wrongly. Understand? So if the user of thought or money has wisdom, then money becomes wholesome. Understand? You can use money to help people, to do charity, to contribute towards society, to the nation's income and all those things, and contribute towards society's need and all those things. So user of thought and user of money is the same. If the user has wisdom, understanding of this teaching, then you become beautiful. All thoughts become right thought. So the same go with technology. They blame the technology, AI replacing human job and all those things. Then they blame technology like computer and all those things, pornography, everything they blame the computer. Then they say the TV, the whole thing, and the iPad or whatever, make the children attach and cling and they don't study. And you blame technology. But no use, understand? As far as we understand our civilization, technology is here to stay, understand? Technology is like thought and money, neither good or evil. It depends on the user of technology. You understand? If you understand this, then the whole world becomes beautiful, become very different. This understanding transforms the human psyche, the human understanding, and the world can become different, peaceful, beautiful, meaningful, loving. That's why the user of thought, money, and technology is very important. If you use it with wisdom appropriately, then you don't act according to this rubbish memory. You act according to what? You act according to understanding born of awareness. When you meditate from here, then you have what they call understanding. You develop understanding or wisdom. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. So you have to act using understanding or wisdom born of the meditative training, which is awareness-based. Okay? So more or less, this is what I want you to understand. Then the last thing is, this awareness nature or the true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind, they will only arise when thoughts cease. Means when you meditate, when there is no thought, you will realize your true mind. This is what your true mind is. Awareness nature or your true mind. This is your meditative mind, your silent mind. This is where the mind becomes very peaceful, tranquil, and still. Okay? Yeah. So with this, I think I will end today's sharing. Huh? Yeah. Let us rejoice. Huh? Sadhu. 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 You don't have to keep note. Eh? We will take a shot of this, then you all can have the record. Yeah. Okay. Almost 9:47. Eh? Just nice. Eh? So it's like we finish our first session. So now second session, we open it up for maybe it's supposed to be meditation reporting. Eh? Those who have any meditation to report, you also can. Otherwise, we will discuss today's topic. Yeah. Or you can ask me any question, yeah, that you want to understand regarding today's topic or the meditation or any part of the teaching. Take a heart and mind, how? Mm. 明白了吗?
就讲这个 heart and mind. Oh. 这个心 I mean, 在我们的cultivation 里面，这个 mind 是一个很 important 的一个 part 来的。
嗯，对。
啊，所以我们一定要去明白，因为一切都为心造嘛。好、啊，
yes.
我们的上个礼拜就已经讲，一切是为心造， 所以这个心是一个很重要的一个 part， 我们一定要去 understand 它。Especially 是在这个脉里面哈，这个 heart、这个脉里面就是有这两个脉。我们一定要很清楚的去了解这个这两个脉，就是那个 true mind
and the thinking mind。对。So the other thing that I have explained now, you know, when you are here at the forehead, this is the mundane mind. That's why this is hell. Understand?When you meditate, you come down to the heart. That's why finally you go to the heart. This is awareness space. This one don't have memory, don't have thinking, don't have thought process. That's why this one, the true mind will surface. That's why I put here, awareness nature or the true mind, they arise when thought cease. So you have to move from here, from the forehead to here. This is like the four circle, you remember? From the...External phenomenal world, you have to bring it back to the pure awareness. The first one. This is where the pure awareness is. Okay.
要了解这个这个 mind 就一定要有 sati。
对。
哦。
对。
这个 sati 就要很 stable 的。Initially 要去 differentiate 这个 true mind 跟这个 mundane mind 是不容易的，真的是不容易。
你要做到那个 awareness nature 啊 ，the sati 啊 ，stabilize。Then from there, how it create thought, how it develop the movement 啊，从那边你就能够了解。That's why you must be completely silent, stabilize your awareness to develop the ability to be aware, to understand.Who are you? What are you? And you, how you function as a human being? How the thought process arise? How the sixth sense door function? How upon contact consciousness arise? And how you input the content? You must see them all. The paticca samuppanna, the dwelling, 全部清清楚楚。你悟到了，能够了解了， then 那个智慧就现起来了。Wisdom can only arise when you can see it and develop the understanding. It means you awaken to what happened. That's why we call it the awareness give you the ability to see things as they are. It means not through your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system. Well, a lot of us look at things through our memory.We search here, then through our views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, we perceive it according to this. But this is not the reality. This is your own reality, your own belief system, your own views, opinion, and conditioning. This is not the truth. The truth is how you become what you are, how you develop fear, how you develop...craving, attachment, clinging, how you develop suffering and misery. So you must see, they come about because of your sakyaditi that condition you to think the wrong thought. And then from here, all this suffering, psychological memory, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, they arise. So when you see this, what must you do? You must reverse all this.Straighten your view, retrospectively reverse all this. Means you know this are wrong thought, like Alicia. And now, for 16 years, you have been tormenting me. So, forget about all this thought. Prevent it from arising. We have no meaning. It causes suffering. Why you want to think? It's just like the example I give you. Let's say this one is red hot, molten. If you hold on to it, touch it, what happened? It will burn you in it.It will torment you, isn't it? So similarly, when you see all these wrong thoughts, when you create them, hold them, it will torment you. It will cause you suffering. So burning you, tormenting you, and causing you suffering is the outcome of suffering. Understand not? It's the cause of suffering, sorry. So when you understand this, what must you do?Don't hold anymore, isn't it? Correct or not? So what happened to human beings is they don't understand. They go and allow the thought to condition them into believing that they exist. Then they say, this one is my suffering, understand? Like your health problem, your career problem, your relationship problem, or your financial problem, or whatever problem in life, understand? You say, this is my problem, I have to solve it. But the understanding of how to solve it is very important. You can still solve it by not holding on to it, understand? By letting it down. Means what? When I leave it, I don't hold on to it, I don't worry about it, what happened? It no longer burn me or torment me. Then I have clarity of mind. Well, my mind is not disturbed. It's not causing me all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Well, I can look at it and inquire what happened. Well, when I put it down, it's not burning me, not tormenting me. It means all this fear, worry, sorrow, and lamentation all gone. Insecurity all gone. Then I have clarity of mind. Then I look at it. Actually, what happened? And then I can start to write it down. These are my so-called problems that my thought tell me, understand? But are these really a problem? I have to inquire. If I don't perceive it with negativity and fear, there is no problem, understand? Like the Buddha said in the teaching, the first noble truth, the eight reality, these are common to all humanity. All your so-called problem, financial problem, health problem, relationship problem, birth, OA sickness, and death problem, they are first noble truth reality, common to all humanity. Not only I have to confront and go through, everybody has to confront and go through. And to me, this is a reality, it's not a problem. So you accept this as a reality, then what happened? I no longer fear, understand not? I no longer develop the projection of thought, the wrong thought, to become worried, to worry about that problem, or to create the anxiety, the sorrow, the all this, no more. Then straight away with that clarity, I ask, if it's a common problem, how can I resolve all this amicably so that I can move on, understand not? Then I start to develop the understanding like what Alicia gone through. These are all wrong thoughts. Not worthy of allowing it to arise again. Then I come to understand this like what the Buddha said. No amount of sorrow, lamentation can bring back the dead. Understand not? So, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety and sorrow can help me solve my problem. Do you understand? You solve your problem not by holding on to it and worrying about it with all the negative mindset and so on. You solve problem by putting it down so that you don't hold on to all this, so that all this doesn't affect you or torment you. Then there is clarity. Then you can make better decisions. You don't panic. You don't worry. Then you look at it. Okay, health problem, take for example. Huh? Or financial problem. How can I resolve it amicably? Financial problem is very easy, understand? But it's not criminal unless you go and steal and deceive, then it becomes CBT, criminal. Otherwise, if you legitimately owe the bank or what, you don't worry, you know. The worst case scenario is what? Put you bankruptcy, understand? Not? True or not? I think your law firm, you all know. That is the worst case scenario, understand? And bankruptcy is say you know, understand? There are a few that came to me financial problem. I tell them this, they suddenly all their fear gone. Bankrupt only, sure, they cannot come after me. They cannot come after my parents. I say they are not Tai Long. I say, please, they are law. Credit card only, ma. You know, young people, new graduate, you cannot blame them, understand? They got a lot of credit card. They juggle, then they cannot pay. The bank threatened them. So, a lot of such case. So I say, worst come to a case, you go to court, you tell the judge, you want to pay, but I got no money. Then, okay, how much can you afford? They will tell you all this, understand? And then you resolve it, understand? And now, Bank Negara also got a unit. Talk to you one. Teach you how to plan your finance and adjust your whatever. And let you come out of it. Then all they got the bantuan, the government coming out. The EPF, they take until no more. Now they think of other way. ICINA, ISARA, IWAT, all the III. So, to me, financial problem is not really a problem. Then, health problem. Okay? Health problem, a lot of people panic, especially traumatic disease and all things. But, what are you going to do when you understand all this? And you know no amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and anxiety is going to help you. So you have to confront it, understand not? With what? With Noble Eightfold Path, following the Dhamma way, wisdom way, means right view to understand what is going on. Means like the Buddha say, whatever that arise or happen, there are causes and conditions behind. And one of the causes and conditions behind is the five daily contemplation, the last one. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition and support. You are what you are because you are. So this disease or sickness come about, could be through your DNA, past karmic activity, what you do and all those things. It's payback time. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So if I accept this, then I can move, understand not? Then what I need to do is, I need to seek advice of people who can help me. Let's say cancer. You need the advice of oncologists, the doctors. But not all doctors and oncologists are professional, understand not? You also need to understand your karma. If last time you also, this bogus type of doctors or what, you also look because of money, you provide your service. Then you will go and visit that type of doctor also, understand, or oncology. And then you kena back. Then you say, how can this doctor do this? But last time you did to people, you never complained, understand? So when you understand all this, you have to tell yourself, what must I do? I do what I have to do. If I know this is wrong, I vow not to repeat it, I ask for forgiveness, understand? That's like asking for forgiveness is in the chanting. You have to do the first thing. Then after I ask for forgiveness already, then I vow not to repeat all this, then I repent, repentant. Repent means what? From now onward, I'm going to change my life. I don't want to live that type of life that lead to this karmic negativity. Means I start to follow this teaching, follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good, purify the mind. To avoid all evil, I keep the precept. I don't harm people, I don't kill people, then I don't get all this problem coming back to me. Then when I keep my precept, I not only develop the pure, what they call, morality. Because when I keep my precept, I actually avoid all evil. Because breaking the precept constitutes major evil. So if I can keep my precept, I don't harm people, I don't cheat people, I don't deceive people, I don't cause suffering to people. Karmically, I reap what I sow. My life become better. Understand? Then when I decide to develop and cultivate wholesomeness, means right thought, right speech, and right action, means I cultivate noble qualities. No more giving rise to all this wrong thought that leads to suffering, negativity or mind state. So when I do that, again I reap what I sow. I will reap all the good things that I have cultivated, like what I did to help people, be generous to people. All this will come back to you. The more you give to your karmic nature will receive. That's why wealth will come. Whatever you have done to people, they will come back. When you treat people with what they call compassion, love, kindness, gentleness, kind people, gentle people, compassionate people, they will come and help you back. So all this is what the Dhamma is. Following the advice of the Buddha is to avoid all evil, to good. Means you cultivate noble eightfold path, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then after that, you move on to meditate, purify your mind. And that one is awareness based. Then you develop the meditative training from here. That one is another big topic. And then you develop the wisdom, this wisdom free your mind. Then you can solve your problem already. Then you become different. When you straighten your view, the user or thought is wise, no more wrong thought, no more suffering, no more problem. Disease is just disease, understand? Means you do what you have to do. Ask for forgiveness, follow the advice of the Buddha, then invoke power of merits for turn around, for there to be causes and conditions for your sickness or disease to recover to good health. Or normal health, so that you can gain back your life again, so that you can become a useful human being and given a second chance to continue your life, to live your life, to cultivate, and to be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. So this is how you do it. So these understandings are very important. Then when you have this understanding, you will also know how to consult people. You will meet up with people where you invoke that power of merits for causes and conditions to recover. You will meet up with people who has recovered from this disease before. Understand? Not? Then, like, 贵人, 贵人, 人, they will tell you, hey, don't worry, last time my so-and-so, he also same cancer and all those things. He recovered. What did he take? Then you look at the internet, you get good advice. There are a lot of solutions actually. You change your lifestyle. You reduce your stress. Actually, stress is the number one killer. Cause cancer. When you have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, your immune system go down. You stress out. The cell mutate very fast. And your health deteriorate very fast. So all this you can understand. Then you know how to resolve your life problem and move on. This is how this teaching can be so beautiful and so useful and so practical to help humanity to recover. The good case is Alicia. And many other Kayamita too. They have actually a lot of depressed people, suffering people, they came and they recover when they understand. So this is good. You continue, huh? So,
Brother, 刚才你的 explanation 是一个很好的一个 solutions 在我们的 daily life 怎样的去 solve 我们的那个 我们的那个 karmic 哈 and then 还有我们的 problem due to the thought. 这个 thought 是非常的重要，要去 understand 它。对。 Otherwise, 我们一定是给他骗去的。
Yeah.
因为如果不是 cultivator 的话，你没有 understand 的话。
Yeah. You cannot. Yeah. Understand all this.
对。
And you cannot come to the understanding. The use of thought is very important. That's why before you have the Dhamma, before you meditate, before you develop this understanding awakening, you use thought. They say it's a one-way traffic to hell, understand? Because you don't have the wisdom, all the thought you arise, 90% is all wrong thought. Seldom right thought, wholesome thought, compassionate thought. At that time, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are so there, so strong. Then your habitual tendency, your wrong way of thinking, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, everything from memory, you just continue to think and act from there. The Sankara Sanya, creating more and more suffering, misery. That's why they think and think and think until the cocoon of thought make them depressed. And it becomes depression. 真的很好. That's why, just now you mentioned, mind is a forerunner of all things. 一切为心脏. You break through that understanding, you actually progress very far. Because when you understand mind, the mundane mind or the thinking mind or the thought is the forerunner of all things, like the Buddha said. When thought arises, all things arise. Because everything is created by the thought. Your suffering, your misery, your delusion. All they are from thought. So when you don't have the awareness to see this and awaken and reverse all this wrong thought by straightening your view, you cannot change your life. You understand? You cannot transform. You become the way you are, caught in the delusion. It's just how some nobody tell you all this, the secret of life, the teaching and all this. Do you think you can come out of it? You can't. There is no way, understand? When I explain, it looks simple, understand? But to apply it, to make it a living reality, not easy. Very few people have the understanding. So Kayamita actually very blessed, able to have this teaching and understanding. And many of you have applied it. And it helped you to develop the better understanding of life and to transform the way you understand life. That's why I saw a lot of Kayamita more calm, more peaceful, more joyful, more happy. And less stress, less stress. Actually, you look at all those Kayamita who really cultivate and come to the class and study. Their life improve or change. And until now, I hardly hear anybody got stress until disease and all those things. I haven't heard of any. But a lot kena the disease, then come one also got. Then recover also got. So it all depends. But so far, all Kayamita are beautiful. Beautiful. Even Chi Wei, you look at him, Chi Wei, 80-something. Right? So beautiful. So cheerful. And he's coming again. I think I was told by Suyan he was here, then he went to Penang. He should be back end of the month now. 80 plus now, I think. But still healthy, still cheerful with the Dhamma. He has a lot of joy. Very good. Continue, song, sorry.
Living beings, our living beings, the problems, 全部 slices got top. Initially, 我们每次听 Brother Dale 你在 explain 这个 thought 的时候 maybe 如果我们没有去 apply 的话 maybe 你以为你懂
对
but 当你去 apply 在 daily 怎样去 deal with 你的 thought 的时候 你会知道 不容易
不容易
这个 thought every moment 它一定拉你
一直去
把你拉回你 有 habitual tendency
habitual tendency
他一直拉回去那个 old way 你就好像一直在那个 漩涡里面一直转
then 你去 analyze
对
你去 create the reasoning why like that why like that 哎呦 how come like that 你就不能够出来 and it's because of all this habitual tendency that condition you to go back and fall on all this. But to break this, you need to stabilize your wisdom. Not to say you don't have, you have, but you haven't stabilized it. That's why this habitual tendency, we call it the anusaya or asava. They have power to come back and torment you and haunt you. But once you stabilize the understanding, like what Alicia went through, where she went through depression, she saw this wrong thought causing her suffering. The moment she see and now subsides straight away. 你了解了, 16年了, 搞他搞到这样, 够了咯. And now I have enough for you. It's just like your good friend. You think he is very close to you, very friendly. Then one day you saw how he deceived you and cheat you. Understand not? Then you become different. You no longer trust that person. Is that enough? Finish. The relationship has to end. The basis of relationship is what? Sincerity. You know? Once the sincerity is breached, it's gone. You know? When you are no longer sincere, the trust is no more there. But if you are sincere, I can trust you. You know? I can still continue the relationship. But the moment I see you cheat me, gone. So what the cultivator saw is, they saw the thought the wrong thought cheated them, is that not? Finish. The wrong thought has got no more power to stay in his brain, the mundane thinking there. Well, these are all wrong thoughts, which are not worthy of even giving it a second thought, understand or not? Why you want to hold on to all this psychological rubbish that torment you, make you so fearful? Like I say, it's only a thought. How come he has such power over him? Who gave him that power? The individual who don't have the understanding through delusion, you created the wrong thought through the evil root and make you miserable. Means you are causing your own suffering through ignorance, through delusion. That's why this teaching can awaken you, straighten your view, and transform you and become different. So this is the living Dhamma. It's not theoretical Dhamma that you study under like theory, but cannot apply on. So the theoretical one is what? Let go la, don't attach la, don't worry la, not you ma. But when cancer is causing you all this suffering, you say, not real la, not me la, atata la, non-self. These are theoretical Dhamma, like, cannot free you. Like Yun Chan say, if it don't happen to you, easy to talk, easy to advise people. When it happened to you, you apply and say, like Song say, cannot. Because that delusion, security is so strong inside the human mind. They really believe they exist. They are dying, understand? They are suffering. How can you say these are all not real? But when you meditate with the awareness, you can see the consciousness that is aware is different from the thought which think get entangled and cause the suffering, the mental suffering. When you lashes onto it and hold onto it, then this mental suffering go down to the heart here and give rise to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. That's why here ache and asana. Then they get heart attack and all those things. This is how you can understand when you are aware. When you are aware, no more thinking, then all this negativity of mind state cease. That's why when I meditate, I realize fear was never me. Insecurity, sorrow, lamentation, they were never me. They are the wrong thought that conditioned it to arise. Understand? Well, before I have fear, I have no fear. Understand? Then how did fear arise? When I see something I don't like, or when I recall through a phobia, a memory that recall that type of fear, then this thing trigger off. Then when it trigger off, it is the emotion at my heart area. Then I worry about it, I panic, and I got panic attack, anxiety, you know. And all these are negativity of my state. So what must I do? Because when I know that these are dependent originating my state, my make a day, just like just now you mentioned, they are not a reality, not intrinsic to my true mind. So I only need to relax, accept that reality, be aware and stay with it, at peace with it, like what Kok Lun able to do. Then I realize everything ceases. There are no more wrong thought. The mind return to its original state before the thinking arise. Understand? So when it returns to its original state of no thought, which is the true mind, the characteristic is tranquility, stillness, awareness. No more agitation, no more fear, no more wrong thought. Nothing to condition it. Then you realize suddenly there is peace, there is tranquility, there is stillness. That's how you develop the awakening. And all along it's like that. But human being didn't understand. They don't know how to be aware, because they never learned this awareness-based meditation. They use the thought. They try to reason. They try to analyze. They try to like find a solution, thought-based, to overcome it. Cannot. No amount of analysis and reasoning can root out the whole problem. It may be give you a temporary fix, like the doctor, the psychologist, and all those things. They give you, you have insomnia, they give you a sleeping pill, and a tranquilizer, or hormone, they call it, the hormone pill to actually they know when you have panic attack and fear, there is a hormone trigger off or not. And because of that deficiency, they call hormone deficiency, your fear or phobia is like intensify or not. And it can trigger off wrong thought, suicidal thought or not, to cause that person in depression commit suicide or not. But a lot of these people tell me, but they're very too, with a suicidal thought. The thought will just come out and say, might as well die lah. Si liao seng xiao. But they cannot take that stress. So this suicidal thought, the doctor also know, he give you the hormone imbalance, to balance back the hormone. You take already, you become more stable. But do you know it's a drug? You become addicted to it. And when you become addicted to it, you become dependent. No? And the dosage has to be increased over time. No? Then when you travel or you forgot to bring your medication, you get into big trouble. That's why it's not a permanent fix. It's a temporary fix. And all this cannot. That's why Alicia last time also went to psychiatry, also take a lot of the pill. Then later on when she recovered, she asked me, should I continue the pill? I said, you slowly, slowly leave it. Means slowly you withdraw and no need to depend on it. Because your understanding can free you. That's why finally no need to have all those medication. So these are the understanding which are very useful. Today, because of conditions, you all must thank Alicia and the sister-in-law, Sister Adrian, Andrea, for the condition. Because I explain more for her to understand. Because she don't have Dharma background, she can relate to day-to-day wordings and explanation. You more or less can understand what I say. We are from your training. Very good. It means you yan learn. You have affinity. You can hear all this. Then you will develop the understanding, the interest, and it can help you while you are still young. And you can help a lot of people later on. Salute to you. No wonder you are close to Alicia. You like to talk to her. Very good. That's all.
Right, 就暂时我讲完了，我 pass
给。可以啊，可以啊，可以啊。Sadhu, let us rejoice with the good sharing. Sadhu.
Good evening, Brother Mrs. Steele and all Kamita. 感恩 Brother 的提醒，我在这里10年。 Actually, Brother, 我在这里听你的佛法一年多之后，我就不需要再吃药了。对，啊，对。
That's why that is how amazing it is. No need the psychological medication anymore. Psychiatric medication.
其实, 我一个做药的朋友跟我说, 你能够走出来, 其实是一个奇迹, 因为那个药是一个dependent的, 你不吃它, 你会很多的worry,
对,
会怕,
对,
你会, 那个, how to say, the withdrawal syndrome will be very, very strong.
对, 对, very true, yeah.
但是, through 这个佛法的 understanding, 我终于走出来,
yeah.
所以我感恩佛法的佛法的三宝，还有感恩Brad的 teaching，对，还有我想讲的所有的看病，还有世间万物给我的学习的换
battery 啊，等下 Alicia 换 battery，他 battery weak 了，嗯，Brad
就我想讲的是，其实我对这个 dot。 是非常的有兴趣去理解它，因为之前我的都是不懂很多的 negativity， and then until 我很真诚的去改变我自己，就很真心的去学习怎样的把自己从那个所谓的漩涡里面跳出来，就。其实我在我的 cultivation 的过程里面，很多我很听很多的凯拉米达都讲到 thought， 他们就好像很排斥这个 thought， 他们就 try to push it away 啊。可是我的想法是，当那个 thought 来的时候，我就想为什么这个 thought not other thought？
对。
然后我就从中的去把它 trace back why this thought。
Yeah。Why not other thought? That one, in the early day, I used to teach you all. When you have dreams or whatever, or when you are living your daily life, how come this thought keep on coming back to you, haunting you? Especially human beings when they have a problem. When they have a problem, that problem, that thought keep on coming back. Like when you have financial problem, health problem, relationship problem,That thought keep on coming back to haunt you until you have resolved it. You go and find out yourself. It's very true. Especially God Loon will know the psych got problem like that. That thought keep on coming on. But luckily he learned the awareness base. He learned how to meditate, relax, silent. Then with clarity, he resolved it amicably. Otherwise, normal people stress up already. Cannot cope already. Because...In a construction site, it's like a war zone. you like fighting war with the consultant, with the client, and with your own worker. And sometimes you have to face your boss. And everybody is after you to deliver. Understand? To complete the project on time and within budget and all those things. And it's very stressful. It's not easy. Well, I'm also a civil engineer.Eventually. But for me, I have the Dhamma, I understand. That's why I resolve it amicably. One by one, I look at it, I resolve it, I look at it. As long as you resolve, you will have less thing to worry and carry. If you don't resolve, you cannot deliver your work or your career will have problem. So resolving issue in life is number one.As long as it's resolved, then it is not troubling you anymore. But you don't make decision, you procrastinate, you continue to fear, worry, and have anxiety, then it develops and becomes worse and worse and worse. But when you resolve it one by one, you realize, very fast, they all clear, no? They all clear. I need to do what I do, I need to resolve it, I resolve it. I need to seek help, I seek help. I just speak the truth.I just do what I have to do, then I resolve all this. That's why when you understand, you have no more negativity, no more fear, worry, anxiety. Then the mind, which is tranquil, still with clarity, become more efficient. Without all this emotion, you can act very well. Then when you don't have all this, karmic negativity doesn't come back and haunt you and disturb you. You realize your life improve a lot.That's why I always advise Kayamita, even my children, whatever happened in life, if it doesn't go your way, first thing to remember is don't panic, don't worry, and don't develop unnecessary fear, anxiety. Have a calm mind, look at it, like that thing burning you, tormenting you, creating fear. Put it down. Yeah, this is reality. If I don't perceive it in negativity, no problem.If I perceive it as one of the reality of life, then it not only happened to me. People who are in this line, in this career, doing this, they also have to confront. So what is the difference? I also confront. But I have the Dhamma, I can confront it better and resolve it easily, then I solve my problem. Understand? Rather than worrying about the problem and creating unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and that one won't help you, it make you worse, understand? Then you need to take all the pills, medication, to help you sleep and overcome your panic attack, your fear. All this will stress you out and create immunity, deterioration, and disease. That's why a lot of people end up developing all the traumatic disease, heart attack, all those things. Very good. Continue.
Yeah, Bradu. Actually, 其实就是一个一念之差罢了。
那对，一念之差。
对，所以最近我看到我身边的人，很多人都在讲啊，这个生病，那个生病，那个生病。
对，
所以我就跟他们很简单的说，假如你worry 啊，还是你什么啊，你生气啊，你的五脏六腑在打架
啊，对，
所以你的身体一直在打架打架，然后你的身体怎么会好起来呢？
嗯，
所以其实这个是一个很 simple 的 analogy， 但是要让他们明白实在不容易
啊，不容易，
他们把这个所谓的色身抓得很紧，
对对对，
他们不知道所谓的空性。
对 对, 对，
他们根本不是考地位，这个所谓的空性。
对对对对，
我们如果假如我说那个多是一个，只是一个好像一个 bubble， 讲一下就没有了。
啊、
所以我
arise and pass away。
在我的 training 里面，我的念头很多很多很多。当初我当下我来 Bradio 这边学习的时候，我的念头是从一个一个一个一个这样。那我就跟我自己讲，那么这么多的念头，难道我每一个都要去 entertain
它吗？对对对对对，
不可能吧。然后他就慢慢 build up 那个 space between thought。
对，
慢慢慢慢我就从中的学习。但是我很多时候听他们讲 awareness， 每天说 awareness 就是 study without the knowing， 就是没有 thought。 但是我的 understanding 是，当你在 study 里面，你还没有 stabilize， 你还是会有 thought。
它会现起来 very fast。
我现在我跟我自己讲，我还是会很多的 thought， I mean
对
不是
对，
因为他这个心是就是因缘法嘛，
对因缘法，
它就是从那个因缘和合里面，
对对对，
你在你怎样的 condition 生活，
嗯、
你就 condition 你的 thought 怎样的 arise。
对对对对，
当你在一个 setting 很近的时候，或者
你
没有，
你就 automatically
它就是比较平静嘛、
嗯，
就是这个所谓的有为法。所以当我 understand 你以后。当他 thought 来，我不会排斥他，我就是接受他。
Don't resist, don't fight。
你一接受他就跑就没有了吗？
对。
然后你就
it will come and go。
对。
Come and go, then you just relax into it, silent and be. Then 很快他就静下来了。
嗯。
The whole thing, sankara activity slow down, then cease。
对，然后你就 go through 那个 training of the mind, so called 慢慢慢慢的，好像。我现在我的 experience 是 most of the time 我好像没有 memory，
对，没有 memory，
没
有 thought 的啊，
好像空白空白空白，
对对对对。
Even you know when that day 我们从沙巴 trip 从 airport 回来，然后我回到家
啊
，I cannot recall something like
啊 ，no need to recall one because it
没有
memory 还是
对，它是一个 like 你 understand 然后
就算了吧啊。
就拿起电话，我就text 那个 message，
对对对对，
让大家明白那个所谓的有为法，就是过去就过去了，
yeah,
然后就 move on，
好像 NB 讲的咯，过去心不可得。
其实这个佛法，我觉得真的是非常奥妙 ，Bradio，、
嗯、
因为我经历的那个法哈，现在我经历那个法是、
嗯、
它是 like 空白，你的心是 like。空着的心啊，
对对对，
空着的心，但是当他要 arise 的时候，他就会 manifest。他 arise 的佛法是 like 那个法是很奥妙，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
我也讲不出来。有时
因为它是因缘法嘛，dependent originating 嘛，它有那个 condition， 它就现出来的。Then 我们修行者 cultivator， once you have this understanding， you don't need to remember anything 嘛。Like I say。It's not a knowledge, it's an understanding. 有了就是有了的，不用 worry about you will forget about it. You must commit to it. No such thing. Then the mind that has no dwelling is the best. We are finally that mind completely transform and become different. So what she is going through, Alicia is going through, this space is very pure. Like is it 空白空白空 means empty, 白 means clean slate, blank, nothing. Becauseyou already have the stability or understanding and gone through the awareness nature, the true mind, silent mind. From there, it go in, then it come out. Then you understand the whole process. Then you cannot hold on to all these things. It has no more meaning. That's why you have more and more space within thought. Then it's like this one cannot grasp, cannot hold anymore. That's why sometimes when I do the chanting or what, I don't know where I am on. Understand? No? Because there is no memory. Huh? Time over there. Okay. Okay lah. That the timekeeper the saying, what you think now? Well, let Alicia share. We have very good sharing. Very good. 他空白就是这样。
对，萨杜布拉丘，感恩大家，真的很感恩。
呀呀呀！
非常的感恩。所以，还有一个我想讲的是，当我某一个那个 at the back 那个 dot com back 哦，我就是知道那个是我 try to。Very subtle underneath that, 我 try to 推走他，但是他不，
不可以的，不可以。
对，最后我是决定，我是要忏悔。
对，忏悔啊，阿所不给的。
对，然后他就没有了，就
对，他就会灭掉。
So beautiful, 感恩大家。
Because sometimes, you don't ask for forgiveness, the 障碍啊 coming obstruction still there on, then it will continue to arise.Very good.
Yeah, 感恩 Brad 就感恩感恩大感恩大家。
Let us rejoice.
给我一个机会。阿弥陀佛。
阿弥陀佛。萨德萨德萨德。Also, what she mentioned just now, the doctor that, the friend or the doctor that told her, you are able to like, no need medication after 1 year plus, come out of the depression, is a miracle.He mentioned that word, 奇迹啊，是一个奇迹。Really, 1 year listening on, no medication, nothing, and can no need all this psychiatric medication. And he was 16 years now heavily dependent on those drugs, and can just come out of it. That's why I say when you understand, the whole thing is gone.When you don't understand, it continues to haunt you. This is the power of thought. Thought delude, thought divide, thought create all the delusion and the suffering. That's why wrong thought, very, very dangerous. The use of thought, very important. Yeah. So today's topic, go back and listen, contemplate, reflect, and stabilize it. Then this,will continue to be with you in future. Then when you cultivate, you transform, you understand very fast. You become very different. Okay? So, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will share merit, transfer merit, then we end.
Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakantu lokasasanaItta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhya Idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayoDevo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha Do bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhamme Imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu SadhuSadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole session. Sadhu. Thank you.